If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.
Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-room-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Well, here we are.
Yes.
It is our last show of the year.
2016.
We will definitely be back next year.
Yes.
And even though this is a pre-recorded one, since we have holiday adventures that are taking place,
Elvira and I have bended time and space, and we speak to you from the past
and
the future.
It doesn't matter. We are definitely getting on that moment of bending time.
Yes, yes.
So we obviously would do a check-in, but since this is, you know, sort of in the future, we haven't checked in enough for what we could have done.
Right, right. So today, as this show airs, it is December 30th. So tomorrow is New Year's Eve.
Oh, my.
And it will be the end of the shite 2016 year and the beginning of the epically awesome 2017.
Yes, yes. I think that with all due respect to the 2016, it's been a very intense, structured year through many different experiences, big and small.
Right.
And what we can only say is blessings 2016, and here we come 2017.
Yes. 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 On to some exciting things.
And since the topic of this episode of our wonderful show is broom.
Broom, broom.
I know. I had to, one of us had to do that.
I've been doing it. So I got my notes and things together the last couple of days and doing some research on the origins of brooms and why they got associated with witchcraft and all that kind of fun stuff. And the whole time in my head I'm going, broom, broom. Broom, broom. It's so ridiculous.
I know, but I think it speaks to our kid. It speaks to our inner being of, you know, what, because hobby horses are, which we will talk more about how that comes about, but in essence, you think about it, that's what I remember. I had a hobby horse and, you know, it was a little stick with a horse's head attached to it, and I, you know, put between my legs and I'd run around and I'd be riding my horse.
Sure.
So, it just seems to go broom, broom.
Yeah.
So we have that. We will be talking about all different aspects, and at the end we will talk about making your own.
Yeah.
Yes.
Should we check in?
I think we will check in, even though
from the future.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's see. If I were where I would be in that time frame.
Yeah, let's do like we did before. Let's do a prediction of how the next couple of weeks
next
will be
weeks.
For us.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I will have easy trip. Everything will be on time, and I will have gotten there, and my daughter will have picked me up, and I would be having a wonderful time. And the Christmas was delightful, and my granddaughter, my God, she has grown, and she's just walking, and she is a toddler now, and she's brushing her teeth and everything, and even though she doesn't have a lot of teeth. I found it's cold, definitely, and I am so glad that I brought, like, several different layers and, you know, like thermal underwear and because it's definitely cold. So far I haven't seen any snow, which I'm grateful because I don't drive in snow.
Mm.
So they wouldn't let me have a car anyway. They usually loan me one of their cars, and I think they're pretty, you know, concerned that if I have to drive in the snow, their car won't make it and I might have a problem. So, but it's been really fun, and coming close to the new year, it's going to be nice to ring in the new year with my daughter. I haven't done it in, my goodness, probably, at least 15 years.
Right.
Because she's been back east for about that long in the Midwest. So it'll be, maybe it's a new episode in my life.
Nice.
And family.
Nice.
It's been sort of a really nice, excellent visit with lots of little adventures.
Lovely.
How is your time frame?
Yes, well, we had a very busy holiday season at the shop. It was very prosperous,
and we
had a very successful winter solstice ritual with our hawk. It was fun and invigorating and renewing, and a lovely solstice celebration with my partner and a lovely Christmas celebration with my family, and I'm looking forward to a quiet and introspective new year. I'm not going to any parties or revelry this year. I think I'm going to do something small and simple and bring in the new year in a way that feels restorative instead of drunken and messy, as I've been prone to do in the past.
You know, I used to do that, and now I don't, and I'm sitting here going, now maybe I should, because, see, I'm not going to be driving.
Right.
I'm not going to have anywhere to go. Maybe I should find myself. I usually use my drink of choice is Italian vermouth with Colchensano, so maybe if they have any, I'll do it for you.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay,
yeah,
well, this looks like it will have been a really good season to close out the year with.
Yeah.
And obviously, we will see each other in the new year for our new shows to start in, and we have some interesting things planned.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But now let's in the broom. I mean, think about the broom sweeping out the old, you know, that kind of thing. I think this was whether we consciously planned it or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it works out.
Right.
So, broom.
Brooms.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Where do we want to start?
Well, I think what I found interesting in doing research, you know, we've done all of the tools connected to the elements and what you find in traditional Wicca and witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And the broom is not one of those tools, right? We did a show on the cauldron, which is another one of those tools that doesn't necessarily fit
right
a specific place.
Right.
And now we have the broom, which doesn't necessarily fit in a specific place. But what I found interesting is the connection of witches riding on brooms is a rather modern concept.
Yes.
And it isn't something that comes from any specific ancient tradition.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually popularized during the craze of the witch hunts.
Yep.
And it was this idea of, you know, women going off into the woods and having sabbats with the devil and being given the power to fly on a broomstick. And it was this very sexual thing, this naked woman straddling this phallic symbol.
Exactly.
And the earliest depictions, because these were also done with, you know, renderings and drawings.
Of course.
Here's my picture of what I witnessed last night in the woods of all of these women in the naked and in the Sabbath. But the first images that we have found connected to this concept, the broom was just the broom stick. There was no
broom twigs at the end.
Yes, I should know what those things are called. But it was just the stick, the bristles. There were no bristles. And so we have this very phallic symbol and this naked woman and how blasphemous and sexual women. Oh, no. So I found that very interesting that this doesn't come from the Greeks or the Egyptians. This is a rather Christianized image of what witches do.
Yes, well, it definitely left you with the concepts. I mean, we will go into the things that it means, but it's interesting that that is true, because when I did exactly that, it's, you know, a witch riding on a broomstick.
Right.
And the concepts of sexuality, because it is, in terms of, if you look at the cauldron, which is the womb, the feminine,
right,
and you look at the broomstick, it is a masculine.
Right.
So those two pair together, even if they weren't meant in the original point of reference to it, and we look at it now as a pairing.
Right.
But it was, the actual stick was a very, very phallic point of reference. But the one thing the Christians had to do when they went through their witch hunts is find things that they could attach.
Right.
And thus, this was, you know, their own imagery, which kind of tells you that.
Right. How hard is it to say, oh, well, I know you're a witch because you have the broom and you ride on that Sabbath. Well, who freaking doesn't have a broom?
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Trixie there.
Yeah. And
one of the things I discovered, which is a little bit different than that just masculine concept, is that the broom is the only tool that is both masculine and feminine.
Mm-hmm.
The bristles are feminine. And
exactly.
The stick is masculine.
Right.
So we have this tool that holds the duality in itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the witch rides it.
Right.
Right? So
right.
The witch is able to conquer the duality of masculine and feminine to be able to hold that polarity and take charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that?
I know. And see, we're taking this and seeing it from because as a modern perspective, the one thing we can do is we are not mired, the two of us,
right,
are not mired in prejudice or trying to prove one person right or the other person wrong. So what we're looking at here is, what is the highest virtue of what this is? What does it represent? And you're right, it represents being able to work with both elements, masculine and feminine, and be the third element, which is ether, spirit.
Yeah, right.
See, and that.
Yeah. So here again, we have this concept that doesn't come from an ancient system.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't come from any old source or some hieroglyphic thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a concept that is rather modern, that is Christianized, really. It was a tool that was foisted upon witches by the witch hunts.
Right.
And modern witchcraft has accepted it, adopted it, and really taken it on as a symbol of power.
Mm-hmm.
So even though this is not some ancient construct, it is powerful. And it's one of the ways that modern witches have reclaimed the tool and the concept of what this tool can mean.
Right.
So, we often get in these witch wars and arguments and pissing contests about, well, my tradition's older than that, and, well, this comes from 200 BC and blah, 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 and so it's more real because it's older. No. Does it work? Is it powerful? Does it make you feel strong and solid? Then it works.
Right.
Right? And so here we have this very modern construct that isn't even pagan in origin, and it is what most people, when you ask the average muggle out there in the world, what does a witch look like? Oh, well, she's riding a broom and, you know, she wears a pointy hat. Right.
Right.
So,
Yeah. We'll have to get to the pointy hat later.
Yeah. So there is stuff, right?
Yes.
On the pointy hat.
Yes, there is. It's fascinating because what we do and what it's not about, you know, I can't quite think of us as like, you know, ghost debunkers. We're myth debunkers. But I think it's more about exploring where they come from, why it's done the way it's done, and then looking at it now in a more modern way. And, of course, you know, the broom itself, which of course we can also go as a besom.
Right.
Right.
Besom.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Besom.
Yes.
And you know, the concept is, and it's funny that you were talking about riding the actual pole, mm-hmm. is that the Scottish riding pole was basically a large wand, i.e. mm-hmm. the large stick upon which they were able to ride,
yeah.
technically around and do what they were doing, which again is one of the things they would do is go into the fields and hop around,
right.
the fields. And the idea is that the higher you could hop, the higher your crops would grow.
Sure.
You know, and I thought, now that would be interesting if we could do that with maybe the various vineyards.
Yeah.
Could you just see all these women and men running around with poles?
Awesome.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. We'd have to do it. But it was part of a dance.
Right. Right.
Fertility dance.
Right.
So it was true. And that was the reason I think the church chose to use that,
mm-hmm.
because it was part of a fertility dance, what they didn't want people to do.
Right. Right.
So they, but
you have to gain control, to
mm-hmm.
have power, you
mm-hmm.
have to say, oh, all of these things you're doing are bad.
Right.
And I will help you not be bad anymore.
And the way you do it is this way.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, do all the prayers, et cetera, to whatever, and,
yeah.
you know, blah, blah, blah. So it is, and it was used in not the manner we see it now, but there were things that started the process.
Right.
In terms of the sympathetic magic they were trying to work.
Right. Right. And there are some interesting stories. Again, most of these come from the witch hunts.
Mm-hmm.
But of flying ointment.
Oh, yes.
So this is where the line gets blurry. What is true?
Mm-hmm.
What were people actually doing?
Mm-hmm.
And what is a construct made up to frighten people
right.
about witches?
Right.
So flying ointment is a hallucinogenic substance that is made up, depending on what region you come from. It's got all kinds of different crap in it that will make you high.
Exactly.
And in some stories, witches would put the flying ointment on their broomstick,
mm-hmm.
and then put their broomstick in their yoni.
Right.
Right? So, again, we have this sexualized concept. Now, for those of you who are familiar with the idea of our skin and what hallucinogenic substances can do, inserting hallucinogenic substances into your vagina will get you high.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It absorbs into your skin, especially that very delicate skin of your vagina.
Yes.
You would absolutely get high. So there is clear evidence of our ancestors using hallucinogens to have spiritual experiences.
Mm-hmm.
No, we are still doing that.
Exactly.
We are still doing that. So where is the line of truth and where is the line of embellishment?
Mm-hmm.
Who the hell knows? But there is this concept of using flying ointment to get high, and then are you flying? Are you riding your broomstick to the skies?
And if questioned under duress,
yeah.
what are you going to do? I mean, if we have visions,
yeah.
we'll just say in our present modern day, and we have a vision, and we believe that that is so real that whatever we got in that experience,
yes.
and we are, you know, we go forward with it, then questioned is going to make it very difficult.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we are, you know, that again presents us with what this particular tool
right.
created as a, I don't want to call it that, but we'll call it that, a lightning rod for them
yeah.
to for those that were trying to gain higher power over the masses.
Right.
But it's true. You do have visions.
Yeah.
And you go with that.
Yeah.
So, yes, it was part of it.
Right.
And I think that very real. So, and, you know, it's definitely a tool associated with the hearth and the home.
Yes.
I mean, obviously we talked about fertility and, you know, the use of it in that form. And obviously with the concept of using ointments, flying ointments, hallucinogenics,
right.
to do the spiritual side. But in truth, it was a broom.
Yeah. You swept. Right, and who didn't have a broom?
Exactly.
Everyone had a broom.
Everyone had a broom.
Right.
Kind of like why we have a pot. Everyone had a huge pot
right.
to cook in.
Right, everyone had a knife to cut their food.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they were real tools
yes.
for everyday use
yes.
that had their magical purposes, because when you clean out your house, you sweep it out, and there we'll go into some of the pros and cons of what sweeping is, but you're cleaning out the debris.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of folk magic
mm-hmm.
from traditions, again, all over the
mm-hmm.
world. This isn't, the origins of this aren't in any specific place.
Right.
Right? This is a universal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Using the way that you clean your home, the way that you sweep,
mm-hmm.
the way that you do these things to take care of the place that you live
mm-hmm.
are magical processes.
Right.
So there's a lot of folk magic and old wives' tales and superstitions around the broom
mm-hmm.
from all over the world. But the way that you clean and the way you hold the energy while you clean and the things that you're sweeping,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
this is, you know, it's kind of like the theory of what you put out there comes back to you.
Right.
Right? When you're focused on cleaning, you're focused on sweeping the crud out, of cleaning up, of
mm-hmm.
making something more beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That is a magical practice.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of singing while you clean is a magical practice. There's all kinds of songs you can look up
mm-hmm.
around magical cleaning.
Right.
And the song that you sing while you clean, the prayer that you chant while you clean, these things are powerful.
Right.
And it's connected to the magic of the broom. And this is, you know, you could go back in time 400, 500 years and ask someone, are you doing a ritual or a spell? No, they're doing folk magic. They just don't know that that's what it's called.
Right.
That's
right.
What we call it now.
Yeah, we've got a label for it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that, granted, you know, the concept of Adam labeling everything has been sort of part of the dynamics, is we have to put a label on it. Just like when we started the show, we said we are witches.
Right.
We labeled ourselves, but
right.
neither one of us consider ourselves completely and totally only this, period. I mean, we have so much more in our spiritual
yeah.
path, but it's something that will give a handle.
Right.
So, and obviously it was a tool of the matriarch.
Right.
You know,
right.
the female. I mean, if I don't quite know how many men were sweeping, but there might have been.
Right.
But it was a symbol of power.
Yeah, right. Oh. The head of the household.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, and whether or not, you know, we look at it now, I mean, we do use, I'm going to say this, it's going to be my downfall. If you remember Hocus Pocus.
Yes.
And you remember the brooms, and then the one witch couldn't find her broom, so she got on a vacuum,
yeah.
which is the electric broom of modern day.
Right.
So
right.
I think of that all the time when I talk about brooms
yeah.
because it is our modern cleaning tool.
Well, the same thing, so to follow that modern
mm-hmm.
line, the same thing happens in the movie Practical Magic.
Yes.
Where they all come to do the ritual together, and they bring their broom, and one person brings the dustbuster.
Right.
Right? So it's a way, if you hold it that way, if you look at it that way, is your vacuum a magical tool? Because it should be.
Yes.
You know? What is it you're cleaning up? What are you leaving in your vacuum, in the vacuum bag or the receptacle of
mm-hmm.
the vacuum that collects all that crap?
Mm-hmm.
What are you leaving in there? Maybe you need to empty that more often.
Really.
You know?
Really. It's funny because I was telling Phoenix that, and I think I mentioned it in one of our shows, I was, you know, I'm cleaning my house. I
right.
like to clean my house before I leave to go on a trip. And vacuuming is always one of the last things I
sure.
do. And I always empty those things out because I have, you know, the ones that are, you know, you just
yeah.
take the canister out and dump it out.
Which is really common now.
Yes.
Yeah.
To me, it's like, yes, I got to get rid of this. It's not just a practical process. It's an actual spiritual process.
Yeah.
Whatever I've picked up,
yeah.
I need to dump out.
Right.
And we were talking here, and I'm thinking, you know, there's a certain connection. I do it unconsciously now.
Right.
Because it's part of who I am.
Right. Right. I don't ever vacuum now. And I think this is because of my work in hoodoo. But I don't ever vacuum without doing a magical process, whether that's laying powders on my floor before I vacuum or doing some sort of sprinkling. Sometimes I use incense, that's burned incense, the powder that's already been burned.
Right.
But I always put something down on the ground before I vacuum as a way of doing a spiritual cleanse and exactly dumping that receptacle out and clearing the way. There is magic and power in that, and I think it's something that I think this might be a controversial thing to say, but I think witches, Wiccans, pagans take that a little bit more for granted than folks who are maybe connected to hoodoo or more of the folk magic systems.
Right.
Because in folk magic, you tend to really see all the things that are spiritual or magical or spell work.
Right.
Where sometimes in paganism, we can get very heady.
Yeah.
And we don't see the day-to-day stuff that we should be taking care of in a magical way.
Right. It's interesting, speaking of hoodoo, and that is that I clean my house now from back to front.
Right.
And sweeping, you know, and vacuuming, and it's, I never really thought about that again. It was never part of what I would do. I mean, obviously, if I had a two-story house, I would do the top floor first,
sure,
because I wanted to get it done because I got tired of dragging the vacuum up and down the stairs. There's a practical point.
Yes.
But in reality, that is part of, you know, top to bottom, back to front.
Right.
And that's the same thing about what are the parameters of sweeping. Let's kind of look at that. Now we've talked about vacuuming as a tool, obviously as part of the broom,
the modern basem.
But it is about, you know, how do you sweep?
Yeah.
You know, do you sweep? Now, one of the things I was kind of interested is that they talked about sweeping from outside to inside. So, like, for instance, if you're in your kitchen, you sweep from the edges into the center. Which was kind of interesting to me because I don't necessarily do that.
Right.
And I'm like, I may sweep to a corner or something where I feel I can obviously take the dust up. It's
right.
more how I do it or practical.
Right.
But that is about sweeping the energy or the luck into the center.
I like that.
Yeah, I know. I thought, well, that's kind of cool because you think about the hearth as the hearth used to be in the center of the home,
right,
and you sweep into the hearth.
Right, right.
So, but then there's also what we've learned traditionally is about how to sweep dorsal,
right,
counterclockwise, to let go of or rid a place of energy.
Right.
Or if, again, we're going to sweep again, you sweep clockwise to close up or to make a circle or make the energy a whole. So.
Right, and that concept of clockwise and counterclockwise feeds into virtually every other magical concept.
Exactly.
Calling in and sending out. Calling in and sending out.
Right, yeah. And it's so, and there's, it's interesting, I was sitting here looking at my notes going, oh, well, okay, we have the alternate point of reference of, you know, the banishing and using the salt to do that, and then, you know, working it counterclockwise in protection, and it was used as a tool in structure of circles to put it across the entrance.
Right.
To close the entrance off.
Right. Right. I have a broom, a magical broom, right, because I have my kitchen broom or my house broom that is magical, you know, and it gets cleansed and taken care of. But I also have a very special broom that hangs above my front door. And I use this as a way to keep out unwanted guests. It is a filter, right? And it is charged, that magical broom, to be a filter. So that anyone who means harm to me or anyone else in my house or any creature in my house can't make it past that filter.
Right.
And I've seen it work many times,
you
know, where literally someone who I don't have good feelings about is supposed to come over to my house and they cancel at the last minute. Or someone who is showing up at going door to door and I watch them go to every door across the street and then when they get to my side of the street, they skip my house, whatever. But it definitely works as a filter to keep away, keep out the riffraff.
Keep the riffraff out.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we use that in just that way. A lot of us have brooms, when you have the bristles up,
yes,
it is a protection. It is a guardian. I actually, at my office, I have a broom with the bristles up at the back door that goes to the center area where all the people that have offices share the particular common area. And, you know, at times I will close it off by laying it down across the doorway. But it is also the representation of the goddess with the bristles up.
Yeah.
So having her as a sentinel.
Right.
And even in hoodoo, one of the things that Miss Kat made a point of is even in the shop, we have to put the bristles up.
Right.
So, and that's for the longevity of the broom itself in a practical sense, but also it is a magical perspective.
Right. Right.
So,
yes.
Yeah. So we have that. And, of course, it has been used for marriage forever.
Right.
You know, we've talked about, you know, jumping the broom in
right.
different ones. African-American tradition, you know, that was a big thing. There's jumping the broom. In the pagan tradition, it is, you know, the vows are done and then the couple jumps over it together.
Right.
So it is, again, the masculine energy, but it is the masculine, the feminine jumping
right.
over.
Right. I debate the history of the jumping the broom.
Good.
Yeah. No, and I've definitely seen folks write about it being,
uh-huh.
you know, this ancient Scottish practice or, you know, this tradition did this or whatever, what have you. But the only real historical evidence that I've found
uh-huh.
that isn't just a modern pagan postulating on the potential of, oh, yeah, the Scots totally did that, you know, without a lot of backup.
Right.
It's African-American
mm-hmm.
because during the time of the United States where slavery was happening, slaves weren't allowed to get married.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't allowed to have partnerships like that. And so what they did to make commitments to each other was to jump the broom, and that was mm-hmm. to say that we are committed to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there is historical clear evidence
mm-hmm.
that happened.
Right.
There isn't necessarily a strong evidence from other traditions. I think it's a lovely idea. I like the concept that it comes from lots of different places.
Mm-hmm.
But I think modern paganism has borrowed that.
It probably has. And yet if we look back and we go, well, if they use this long staff
sure.
to ride around in the field for sympathetic magic.
Absolutely.
For, you know, the sexual union, then of course you've got to look at the possibility that it's a hop, skip, and a jump to consider that it might have gone for that other part.
Sure.
You
sure.
know, I mean,
with this, again, one of these things, we say this almost every show. We can't really know.
Right.
Yeah.
Because oral traditions
yes.
are oral traditions,
yes.
and it means verbally.
Right.
And if you're lucky and somebody gets an oral tradition from their, you know, ancestors to them, mm-hmm. you also have to realize that, like the game telephone,
right.
things get changed because you hear something. Somebody didn't have a good hearing that day. They
right.
they heard, you know, it slurred.
Right. Or you wanted to hear something.
You wanted to hear something.
Yeah.
So in truth, even oral traditions, there is a shifting and changing.
Right.
So, you know, and written was not, can only go back so far.
Right.
You can only do that so far. So that is, yeah. I'm trying to make sure we're on the right space here.
Oh, yeah, we're on time.
Okay. Is, you know, again, the concept, yes.
Yeah.
It was probably used in some point of reference
sure.
for marriage in some form.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I can't guarantee it. And, of course, I don't have relatives that tell me that, even Strager or otherwise.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Right.
But in terms of, you know, what the tool itself was and how it represented it, we can describe the fact that it has, you know, different parts that it is made of.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the staff.
Right.
You have the twigs, and you have the binding.
Right.
And usually there were three different types of wood that was used.
Right.
So, and we will discuss how to make one, but, you know, to give you the idea that this was how they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can always carve on the handle.
Right.
Or paint it or
right.
put ribbons around it.
Or for the bristles, you can use different types of plants or what have you, if you want to make a broom for a specific magical purpose, it doesn't have to be broom straw. You can use lots of different things to decorate and design your own broom. But there are some traditional things, you know.
Right. We do have, you know, they were very, like anything, we go back to every tool we've talked about. There are traditional ones for aspects, certain traditions, Druid traditions, Sturdygut traditions, you know, whatever, that you made it a certain way.
Right. And keep in mind with the broom, it was a tool that was used to clean the house, right? So although using lavender sticks may be a beautiful thing in your magical broom, to actually sweep your kitchen floor, that's not the best idea.
No.
So keep in mind, is your, you know, is your magical broom going to be a religious symbolic tool that you don't actually sweep your floor with? Maybe you sweep it energetically. Or are you actually going to need to put the bristles on the ground?
Right.
Because then you may need to use something that actually makes sense.
Right.
We have a minute
for
our break.
Oh, my. All right. So basically, traditionally, in one of my more standard sources, the broomstick was ash, the twigs were birch, and then the items that they used to tie were ribbons or ash birch strips.
Right. Right. I also see hazel.
Hazel.
As a... the stick. It's very traditional.
So
a nice sturdy wood.
Right. You want something that's solid and hard enough to handle using it and pushing it.
Right. Yeah.
So.
It had to work.
That's it. It had to work.
Work. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we will be back after break.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. Radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned as more magic is coming your way right after these messages.
LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candelo's Corner with Candelo Camisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Bit of Boxy with Madame Naya and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Western, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Aha! We're back!
Yay! Keeping through the break.
I was telling Phoenix that I was looking, I mean, every one of the tools have different things, little fun facts.
Yes.
And one of the things I did was I found some of the more fun facts.
Right.
You know, if a broom drops, you're going to have company, meaning if it's sitting upright and it drops, then you're going to have company.
Company's coming.
Company's coming. And that it's unlucky to make or buy a broom in the month of May or, now this is interesting, the 12 days of Yule. So that is kind of an interesting little thing. And I think some of these may come more later. I think the one at Yule and May have a specific reason, but I think some of these others are a little bit more modern.
Sure.
You know.
Modern superstition.
Modern
superstition. That's as fun as the ancient.
True. But now we all know about not taking an old broom to a new house.
Yes. Don't do that.
No.
And a fresh broom.
Fresh new broom.
New start.
But there's an interesting thing is don't leave your old broom behind, which of course means you have to dispose of that broom, which also makes sense if you think of the olden times, is that you don't want to leave your old energy around for someone to play with.
Right.
See?
Right.
So that, even though it was a little more modern when I was reading about it, it was like, well, that kind
your
of
broom
makes
has a bit of your energy
in it.
Yeah.
And bristles up, obviously, for it to last longer. And what was the other one that I thought was really interesting is that, oh, if you want rain, now not that we really want rain right now,
right.
But you would take the broom outside and you'd move it around through over your head. You sweep
weather
it around.
Weather magic. Nice.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of a trip. And the one that I was like going, well, okay, if you put a little broom, now obviously a big broom is going to be kind of hard, but you put a little broom under your pillow, you will have nightmares.
Huh.
But if you take a broom and hang it above your bed,
yeah,
it will sweep away the nightmares.
Interesting.
See? Yeah. Kind of like, and we all talk about dream catchers from the Native American tradition and things like that.
Right.
So I thought, well, that kind of works. I can handle that.
Nice.
Of course, you know, you bring somebody new to your bed and there's a little broom hanging up, it kind of makes what are we going to do with that,
depending
dear?
Depending on what they're aware of, they have to answer some weird questions.
They may. So,
yeah.
But anyhow, and who and what? Anything you would like to wander through for a while here?
Sure. Well, so let's see here. I have a few little random things.
Mm-hmm.
You can do, if you are in a hurry and you're trying to do a ritual or a magic spell, you can use a broom to cleanse and cast a circle at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Right? You can sweep out the old and use the bristles to clear and the handle to create your circle.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cool, right?
That is cool.
If you are feeling like you need to cleanse your space, something spunky or off, if you throw salt down and then use your broom to sweep up the salt, which
mm-hmm.
we alluded to before,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, that's a quick way to do a little bit of spiritual cleansing.
Right.
Let's see. If you are worried about gossip or people talking behind your back or speaking ill of you,
mm-hmm.
put a broom in your windowsill and that stops gossip.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Now, there you go.
Right?
I like that one. I mean, who doesn't have people that decide they want to talk about you?
Right. And, you know, we talked about that before. The broom can be used as a filter, as a magical barrier.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a magical broom, we're going to talk in a little bit about maybe how you might want to make one.
Mm-hmm.
But think about what you can do with the broom. Be really creative. The broom as a magical tool is the one tool you can be really super creative with.
Right.
You can make it its own spell.
Mm-hmm.
Make it its own protection amulet. You
mm-hmm.
can make it can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
It can be made of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a lot of options, you can be really creative with it.
Well, one of the things I noticed now here out in Northern California, we have Trader Joe's. I know they've had some throughout the United States, but I don't know how far back, how wide-ranging.
Yeah.
But they sell, especially at this time of the year, cinnamon broomsticks, and they sell the big ones, but they sell the little ones.
Right.
And I happen to have a little one that I use when I do my candle rituals for my clients
mm-hmm.
because I keep it in such a way that I'll either sweep it or I'll use whatever it is. But you can use any number of items, just that the cinnamon has a specific scent and it has a specific way of functioning magically.
Right.
So you can find different items, you can make different items, you can put charms on it,
mm-hmm.
you can put, you know, like little different doodads and make it really yours.
Right, right.
So it's the same as what we were talking about. In ancient times, they might, you know, paint runes or carve runes or something on it and, you know, decorate it. So it's fascinating to see how this can be. It's easier to personalize this, I think, than to do a cauldron,
right,
or even an athame or a sword.
Right.
It's this really becomes something you can not just physically make, but you can personalize it.
And unlike, you know, the other tools that we've talked about, the athame, the wand, the chalice, they have, depending on your tradition,
mm-hmm.
on your specific witchcraft background or Wicca background, there are specific rules
mm-hmm.
about size and shape and length and material
mm-hmm.
and what these things are supposed to look like. With the broom, this isn't one of those official tools.
Right.
And because it's made of natural materials for the most part,
mm-hmm.
you have a lot more opportunity, a lot more to play with, a lot more to do,
mm-hmm.
potentially, than you do with those other tools, because there isn't a set of rules. If you're a Wiccan and you're setting up your altar just like Gerald Gardner told you to,
right.
then your blade must be a certain way, it must be a certain color,
mm-hmm.
your chalice must be a certain size with a certain standard.
Right.
You know, you don't have a lot of play.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It becomes a real, this becomes a real personal tool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's kind of neat, because it's our way of, you know, it's, again, if it's a matriarchal symbol or the power of the matriarch, it becomes a way to express your power as a matriarch.
Right.
And it doesn't mean the oldest person in your family. It just means the female power.
Right.
So I know that, you know, we talk about matriarchs and structures, and maybe that'll be something we can talk about later in another show. But so we have how to make it next. Well, I don't mean next, but we have, you know, the things that you can go with, the different woods that you can use.
Sure.
We kind of talked a little bit about, you know, certain hardwoods that you would want. You know, you can actually, if you have a lathe, you can, you know, turn it, or you can go buy doweling, or you can find, you know, a branch that you really like.
Right. And you might also consider listening to one of our previous shows about wands,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of the concepts we talked about regarding wands is going to completely cross over to the concept of the broom handle,
mm-hmm.
and the potential of what you can do with it and how you can use it and what you can do to decorate it and what kind of wood you might want to use, all of these
mm-hmm.
concepts.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much the same as the concept of the magical wand.
Right.
You know, so we could talk about every wood and some of the energetics around that, but, you know, if this is your magical tool, do a little bit of research.
Right.
What wood do you feel connected to? What wood do you really love? What feels magical to you?
Mm-hmm.
What grows in your area that you have a relationship with?
Well, there you go.
And perhaps consider making a broom out of that wood.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. something that is, well, you know, one of the things about using herbs and healing herbs is that they talk about the herbs that are in your backyard, I mean, the mm-hmm. things that are around you.
Right.
Non-poisonous, are the things that will heal what is wrong with you. I mean, it's in your backyard is what they're saying.
Right.
And I think that that is another way of looking at your connecting with the spirit of place and land where you live.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that's, I know we think of tradition, you know, it's going to be ash or it's going to be oak or it's going to be this, but it is still personal.
Yeah.
To where you are, not just yourself.
Absolutely.
So.
And the time that you spend in doing the research and looking and exploring and connecting, this isn't just about the broom.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just about connecting to making a magical object, but if you go and spend time outside, you're also connecting to the spirits of the land where you live. You're
right.
connecting to the energies where you live. It doesn't get much more pagan than that.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. And I think for what we're looking at here, to help you connect with something that is so standard, I mean, honestly, people talk about going out and getting the actual plant, the broom, and making, you know, twig, you know, using the twigs for mm-hmm. the bristles. These are true, but as Phoenix said, you can use lavender, you can use different kinds of things as well, but again, if it's a ceremonial process versus something else.
Right. Well, maybe we should just dive into the idea of making a broom, right?
Okay, sounds good.
Because we're dancing around it.
We are.
Yeah.
Dancing around the broom.
Yeah, dancing around the broom.
We're punny today.
Yes. So we just talked about the wand part of the broom, the stick, the staff, the wood,
mm-hmm.
right? So that is the more masculine piece of the broom. So
mm-hmm.
keep that in mind
mm-hmm.
as you're looking for the wood that you might want to
mm-hmm.
use or the
mm-hmm.
the piece of it that you might want to use. And we talked about that plenty. And then what's the next bit? The next bit is the bristles.
The bristles.
What kind of bristles do you want to use? And think about, is this something you're going to use to literally sweep, or is this something you're going to use to spiritually sweep?
Right.
That will help you decide if you need broom straw or birch twigs
mm-hmm.
or whatever, or if you want to use streamers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, think of it that way. It can you a series of ribbons.
Right, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's interesting because both Phoenix and I are very creative people, and I know that a lot of our listeners are creative people, people that do different things and all that. And my mind just literally, when she was saying that, I could see these pretty colored ribbons of
yeah.
one, you know, like red for this or pink for that or a rainbow or whatever.
Yeah, we made brooms in one of my former covens,
mm-hmm.
and one of my coven sisters made a broom with colored ribbons, and it wasn't ribbons, fabric ribbons. It was those sort of metallic, shiny ribbons.
Oh, yes, the pretty, yes.
Yeah, it was, we called it her disco broom. It was awesome. But there's two different ways to tie your bristles to the broom,
mm-hmm.
and it really depends on the type of bristles you choose. So, for example, if you're using birch twigs, those don't bend or they will snap.
Right.
So you have to literally wrap them around the base of the broomstick and then tie them with whatever substance you're going to tie them with, whether that's twine or a metal or some other herb or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's up to you in your process. Or if you're using something soft or a bristle, like more like a broom straw type
mm-hmm.
of material, you can actually tie them so they're going down the broomstick. You tie them on the bottom, and then you fold them back
mm-hmm.
over themselves and tie them a second
right.
time.
Right.
So there's something also magical about that because you are tying it twice.
Mm-hmm.
It's, again, that concept of polarity,
right.
tying the polarity together
right.
with that two magic,
mm-hmm.
that number two magic.
Mm-hmm.
So something to consider.
Almost like a woman's ponytail.
Right.
Yeah. I was just, you know, I mean, I'm seeing the way you're describing it, and I'm thinking it's like putting your hair up in a ponytail.
Right.
So, but that is a very simple process, and yet it can be, again, it can be a very magical process.
Yeah.
And it's funny because a group of women and a gentleman that I work with, they do different crafty things. They love getting together for their circles and doing crafty things.
Right.
And they've done all kinds of things. And one of them was actually a maypole, which I thought was interesting. And this one I can see being another one of them that they might put together and,
right.
you know, do. Because one of the things is when you do it on your own or in groups, you're creating your own magic, but then you need to realize that sometimes you can start a project that way and then you'll finish it on your own.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
adorn it the way you want.
Absolutely.
So.
And just like we've talked about in other shows with magical tools or spell work,
mm-hmm.
making your broom, you can time to the lunar cycle, right?
Uh-huh.
So if you're making a broom that is going to call something in, perhaps you do that on the full moon. If you're making a broom for protection, maybe you do that on the new moon, maybe you do that on the full moon.
Uh-huh.
If you're looking to banish something, maybe you make sure that it's during the waning moon.
Right.
But incorporating the moon or the phases of the moon or the hands of the clock
right.
or the day of the week,
right.
whatever your magical tool is going to be used for, you can incorporate that energetic into the timing of making your broom.
Right.
Right?
Right. And, again, it's fluid. It's fluid. I know that when I talk to clients, it's, you know, yes, this is when it would be ideal or
yes.
best, but if it's something that you need right now, then take that into account and work with it as you, you know, in immediacy. And you can go and buy a broom
yeah.
and adorn it.
Absolutely.
You know, over the years, I've bought brooms for my house, whichever one it is that I'm in, or I use one up and then I have to let it go and release it and then, you know,
yeah.
get a new one. There are ways that I have made that personal. It isn't just a project that I throw my broom in there and leave it.
Yeah.
I talk with it. It's kind of like you're helping me out, keep my house clean, keep magic going. You can personalize it.
Right, right. And when I do, I like to purchase brooms myself because they're sturdy and they work and I don't have to do a lot of futzing. But I do stage my broom,
uh-huh.
new brooms, and there's something really profoundly magical about watching smoke go through the bristles and how the bristles affect the smoke going through. It's really cool. And sometimes when I don't have time to sit and smoke a broom, which sounds hilarious, I will make I'll get some Van Van bath crystals. I love the Van Van formula. If you're unfamiliar, this is an old hoodoo formula. It comes from New Orleans. Lucky Mojo sells it. There's lots of other folks who sell different Van Van formulas, but it it changes bad luck into good luck,
right?
It shifts the negative into the positive. So I always have Van Van stuff on hand at my house, and I will dissolve some bath crystals in water and then spray my broom.
Mm-hmm.
Just super easy and fast, right? So if you do decide to buy a pre-made broom, you want to cleanse it like you would
right.
any other magical object.
Right.
But then you decorate it.
Yeah.
Like Elvira mentioned earlier, you can carve it, paint it, put magical symbols on it, tie things into the bristles, add charms or talismans or amulets, decorate it.
A lot of times people will just, you know, even just paint a little eye on it to, you know, to be the anti-evil eye process or to see where it needs to go.
Right.
You know, it's like it becomes very much your tool in a different way than some of the other tools that we have talked about.
And all of these pieces that you add to it, the decoration that you put into it, will help to charge it into the purpose of it, right? So if it is something that's going to clean and help keep your house spiritually clean, you want to add symbolism of that, and that will help intensify its effectiveness.
Right.
You know, all of these things. And then when it's beautiful and decorated and it looks the way that you want it to look, then dedicate it. Give it a name. Communicate with it, just like you would with your athame or your chalice. That, you know, this is now a magical object, so you need to take care of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you can do that with your vacuum. I know I do.
Right.
It's interesting. The one thing that I have to say since I've been working with Phoenix and we've been doing these shows is that, I mean, I named things occasionally, you know, this or that or the other thing. But I found that, especially the Nordic tradition, I think I've mentioned this before, but I think that there are all these traditions that name things, that they have names. They aren't just the name of the object. They have personal names.
Right.
And, you know, modern society would call that anthropomorphizing.
Sure.
But it is a part of what the energy is.
Right. It wakes it up.
It brings it together. It wakes it up.
Yeah.
So
on that note,
we are at our time.
We're just about at time. And so I just wanted to thank you on behalf of myself and Elvira for listening. It's been a fun year of talking about magic, and I look forward to another year of talking about magic.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Have a happy and safe New Year's.
Same. Down the side, blessed be, darling.
And blessed be. And we'll be back for the first Friday of the year. We're going to talk about the goddess Peridwen.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, be well, be safe, and happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. Blessed be.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
Right now at the Disneyland Resort, you can save when you stay just steps away from all the magic. Save up to 25% on select rooms at a Disneyland Resort hotel. Visit Disneyland.com or call your travel agent to book for select nights now through April 12, 2018. There's no better time to get more happy. Savings based on the non-discounted price for the same room at the same hotel excludes applicable fees and taxes, subject to restrictions and change without notice. Separate theme park admission required to enjoy the parks. Right now at the Disneyland Resort, you can save when you stay just steps away from all the magic. Save up to 25% on select rooms at a Disneyland Resort hotel. Visit Disneyland.com or call your travel agent to book for select nights now through April 12, 2018. There's no better time to get more happy. Savings based on the non-discounted price for the same room at the same hotel excludes applicable fees and taxes, subject to restrictions and change without notice. Separate theme park admission required to enjoy the parks.